We're back with data scientist Ingrid Tobar. So Ingrid, why don't you tell a little bit about your background, and then eventually we'll kind of work into how you got into data science and oil and gas.
Sure. My undergrad is in environmental sciences, and my master's degree is in environmental geology. Not data science, not computer science, a lot of environmental. My school, University of Missouri at Kansas City, was part of the geosciences department. So we had geography, geology, and environmental science all in one. I ended up taking a lot of geography classes during my undergrad mm-hmm. and my grad. So eventually I came out of my undergrad with a certificate in GIS. And out of school, my first job was as a GIS technician.
Geo and GIS certificate. So this is not computer science or math or statistics or anything like that. So this is a little bit different than maybe most that we work with around here.
Correct. It is a slightly different. It is everything about geography. It's everything about geographic information systems, database management. But I did also do statistics. My master's degree is in geostatistics.
Okay.
So I did have geo and statistics combined.
Yep. Okay. So when you got out of college, you pursued a more of a kind of fieldwork position. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. So my goal was to become an environmental scientist and do environmental assessments and do fieldwork. However, when I graduated and I had my GIS certificate, I also was officially licensed to do GIS and to manage geospatial databases.
Okay.
So my first role out of college was actually doing that. Not so much doing field work and doing environmental science, but doing a lot more of the GIS and the mapping and managing databases.
Uh-huh. And how did you feel about that?
I was not very happy. I was frustrated because I was expecting that I would actually get to go to the field, learn environmental regulations in the field, and do some of the field work that the environmental scientists were doing. And I was not doing that at all. I was actually just collecting data, creating database schemas, and doing different type of things.
Uh-huh. So, were you picking up a lot of things along the way as you were doing that? I would assume there would be maybe some pieces, because over time, as we go through more of your story, you just keep more and more gradually getting into the data science pieces of all of these problems.
Correct. Yes. I was working with geologists quite a bit. So I started understanding more about geology from that perspective, but from the data side, not from the fieldwork side, mm-hmm. and not from, you know, the actual geology of it.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then how did you get your first exposure into actual oil and gas? That first position wasn't strictly oil and gas, right?
No, it was not. So my first position, I worked for an engineering firm as a contractor for the Environmental Protection Agency. Mm-hmm. We worked on primarily environmental incidents, tornadoes, floods, anything that required environmental cleanup, we supported. And my primary task was to help the people who were in the field collect the data, assemble the data into databases and repositories, create maps, reports, dashboards, and all of the data processing. That was my task. My first exposure to oil and gas was actually at the Deepwater Horizon oil spill back in 2010.
Mm-hmm. And so you were there doing similar things. You were looking at the different data about the mm-hmm. environmental impact of the...
Correct. At the time, I was working with the same company, and we were tasked with collecting data on emissions at the beach and in the water from the oil spill, and assessing the danger to human health and populations uh-huh. along the coastline.
Yeah, and you had mentioned something kind of interesting to me, that the work of the people at the oil company versus the work that you were doing was mm-hmm. essentially pretty much the same. Was that
That is correct. We actually, it was a very interesting scenario and set up because we were working under the same roof, essentially, working on the same tasks. We were collecting data on, we were collecting samples from the sand to see if they had any hydrocarbon contaminants. Mm-hmm. We were collecting water samples. We were collecting air samples. And they were doing the same things. So some of the data that we were collecting, we would share with them, and then they would share with us. Uh-huh. So we had, at the end of the day, we had the same goal. Everyone was there to assess and determine whether there was any impact to the population and to get the well shut in. Uh-huh. That was the main goal.
Yep. And so after you worked with them, you ended up actually sort of switching sides or switching viewpoints, if you will, to the oil and gas side, and you actually, it was like shortly after that that you started working in oil and gas?
Yes, that is correct. After that engagement, I started working for an environmental firm here in Houston, mm-hmm. supporting oil and gas clients from the oil and gas client perspective, no longer from the environmental regulator side, more from the oil and gas company perspective.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever... You wanted to do field work originally, mm-hmm. and as you then end up going into oil and gas, and then eventually end up here at Anadarko doing data science mm-hmm. analysis of data this whole time. How do you feel about that? Do you wish you would have? Do you want to go back someday? Do you regret at all going in that you were kind of forced against your will into data science? How do you feel about that?
In hindsight, I am quite glad because field work is grueling and it's a lot of hard work. And I'm quite pleased the way things turned out. I don't regret it. But back then, yes, I wanted to do field work and I wanted to be in the field and learn environmental science in the field and do environmental work. That didn't work out that way.
Uh-huh. So back then when you showed up to work, when you first started out and they were giving you all the data science.
Right.
You were...
So I was not sure where this was going. Uh-huh. It was a road that I didn't know that I would have to take. But in hindsight, I'm quite glad that it turned out the way it did. I would not change it. I did not get all the exposure that I needed in environmental sciences, but... having the ability to manage data for different types of purposes, manage different types of data and understand different data types and data workflows, that allowed me to actually move quickly into not just the oil and gas industry, but also in a previous role, work in any other industry. Yeah. I had also supported projects in waste management and transportation, in electrical distribution. So what data management and data science skills grants you is the ability to switch and, you know, pivot quickly from one industry to the next.
True.
Because a lot of the skills that you gain along the way will transfer quite
pretty
easily.
Much any field or mm-hmm. anything. Mm-hmm. So we like to do a little bit of a piece for people getting into data science, and your trajectory offers a very, I think, unique perspective. So a lot of times, you know, people might want to know what classes do I take or should I get this degree, or and maybe they're early on in their careers. But for you, you had a totally different path than almost everybody because you had the path of, again, to use this phrase, sort of against your will, curving your path mm-hmm. after you entered the workforce. So what about somebody that's already in the workforce and they're working some job and they're not necessarily totally in data science or machine learning or whatever you want to call it? But they want to start navigating that way, kind of like mm-hmm. like you did. What would you recommend for somebody in that position?
So from my years of experience in consulting, which is everything I did before I came to Anadarko, what I can tell you that the number one skill that you need to gain for data science and any other job is find the business value on what you do. Mm-hmm. If you have that, and you have data science skills, then you have a secure place and you will be needed. Mm-hmm. You will be an asset to a company. In addition to that, yes, fine-tune your data science skills. understand your data structures, understand data processes, workflows, understand how do you make things more efficient? Because that's ultimately what we look for in data science. How can we make processes better? How can we reduce the number of work hours that a person has to put in to execute a particular workflow?
So tying into what you mentioned, which again, this is kind of tying back to the first part, you mentioned to be kind of driven by business decisions, driven by answering business problems. In fact, I remember you had told me before something along the lines of don't do data science just to do data science. Would you like to elaborate on what you mean by that exactly?
It goes back to finding how the particular thing that you're working on is going to help or benefit anyone else. It is very nice to build a model, but who is it going to help at the end of the day? How are you going to implement it? How many users do you actually end up impacting? If it's a model that only benefits me, what is the use of it? So that's kind of my take on that. If you build something, if you're trying to streamline a process or enhance the efficiency of something, it should benefit someone else other than just yourself. You should have the goal of actually helping more users and making sure that you actually have that in mind.
Yeah, and so we only highlighted one project today, but you've worked on a few others, and I think you've seen quite a few times how the general kind of pipeline works as far as business question and then data science, or having people look into it and figure out how to answer it, and then ultimately answering the question. What does that usually look like, that process, all the way from the initial business question all the way to the final solution? Will there be kind of like a higher up that will just kind of have some set of questions that they're looking to get answered, or?
Not necessarily, and it varies. Some of the problems that we have tackled at 8 have come from initiatives that came from our executives, things that were requested from higher levels, but some of the other initiatives that we worked on came from the grassroots. There were things that we identified that the teams in the assets were working on and they needed help with. So we ended up building a custom tool for them to work with and help accelerate some of those workflows, and then added onto that another tool or another piece of the workflow to supplement what we created. So it's, you know, it depends on how the initiative got started, but I've seen both things. Some initiatives are rolled down from the top, and some of the more successful ones are actually bred from the grassroots, from the bottom.
So you're just working on maybe something totally different, and you just kind of see something that you know that you could make like maybe a large contribution in some area. You just kind of see it, and you just kind of say, hey, everybody, look at this problem here. I think we can make a huge impact, something along those lines.
The people in the assets actually are the ones who tell us we have this challenge here. How can you help us? And then we step in and we say, well, we think we can bring XYZ, and that's our contribution to the equation. But our counterparts at the assets are really the spearhead of how things get, you know, in motion.